It just now occurred to me that Bob was right when he yelled at me during a recess in the trial. He said that if I had acted like a real partner, we wouldn't be in this mess. The afternoon I found the chief, I was off by myself in the rubber tender dinghy near the harbor of refuge at Little Lake. Bob was farther down west in the main skiff with a metal detector where the Phineas Marsh went down in 1896. Mind you, everything we do is against the law, as all sunken ship artifacts are the sole ownership of the state of Michigan. When I made it up to the surface and to the dinghy, I rigged the smallest buoy I had so it wouldn't be noticed. Then thought better of it. Any diver will check out a stray buoy, and I didn't want the straight arrows over at the Shipwreck Museum at Whitefish Point to find my prize redskin. I sat in the dinghy for a long time, making triangulation points on the shore about a mile distant. When I joined up with Bob an hour later at the Little Lake dock, I had good reasons, or so I thought, for not telling him about my find. I was still sore over my arrest in the Sault Ste. Marie, a few weeks before. Bob had sent me over to sell a brass ship's whistle to a nautical antiques dealer. Most of the time we worked through a dealer in Chicago to escape detection, but we needed some quick cash as the lower unit of our Evinrude was in bad shape. I dropped off the ship's whistle and got the cash in a sealed envelope, which was an insult in itself. I said, "How's a man to count the money?" The dealer said he was just told to give a sealed envelope to a messenger. The downfall in this situation was that I only had gas money to get back to Grand Marais, and I was hungry and thirsty. I went into the bathroom of a bar down the street, opened the envelope, and took out a well-deserved 20. I had a few shots and beers and went over to a cat house for a quick poke with a black girl I knew there. This girl has 3 years of college, yet works in a whorehouse, which shows that blacks don't get a fair shake.